better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Wayne, who's in Fort Smith. What's going on, Wayne?
What up, fellas? How are y'all?
Hey, Wayne. We're doing great, man. How about yourself?
Good. Yeah, hey, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you.
A lot happier after a Razorback weekend win, right?
Makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
Oh, man. Hey, have y'all seen a linebacker up there at Arkansas that plays with as much anger and tenacity as Hayden Henry?
Be hard-pressed to find one. He definitely plays with a chip on his shoulder.
That dude made some plays, didn't he?
He did.
Hey, I was going to ask y'all on this these defensive issues that we're seeing. Do y'all think that's more scheme or more play of the players? I'll get y'all thoughts on that, and I'm going to end with asking y'all next weekend against San Jose State if we get a big lead or whatever, whatnot. Who y'all think's going to be the next quarterback to come in? You think Hicks is still the backup, or you think they're going to get one of these other younger guys a shot?
That's a great question.
I'm going to hang up and listen, guys.
All right, Wayne. Well,
appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You as well, man. Appreciate the phone call. Well, to start with your defensive question, I thought this myself. First off, there was times where the defense just looked slow. Looked slow against the rush, looked slow out there, especially that opening drive where they just busted it for a 75-yard run. They just look slow. But I think that, could you say it's scheme? I'm sure there's issues there, but you're talking about just a ton of freshmen that's on this defense that's having to get some rotation. You're talking about not a lot of depth, especially when Bumper Pool went out at linebacker, which we'll know more about the extent of his injury today at noon. You know, that had to be hurtful as well. I mean, you're still having to put all these pieces together defensively, and you just don't have the quality depth right now to really have a defense that can make these stops at these times.
These were trick plays. I mean, the running back ran it between the guard and the tackle. I mean, that I mean, here's a good news. I bad joke, I guess. Sean Chavis can fix this. This is alignment. This is not shedding your block. You go back and you look at a couple. They just opened up some holes similar to the ones Arkansas opened up for Rakeem Boyd. And Colorado State perfectly executed the play. Arkansas wasn't where they needed to be defensively, and they didn't get off their blocks and make the stop. These are fixable issues within the defense because, as I said, these aren't trick plays.
No.
They ran it between the guard and the tackle and went 75 or whatever it was
a
couple times. So these long runs are concerning because you got to think, well, A&M's watching this. Kentucky, who looked good against Florida, is watching this. You know, those are the games. Auburn down the road. You know, you get through this game, and then it's a gauntlet a little bit. So, and you got to get ready for A&M. They're seeing that. They'll be trying to attack that.
Mm-hmm. And then the same thing when you brought that play, the opening possession, the player that had the best angle on that run was Mateo Soli.
Mm-hmm.
He's a true freshman, who in that case, if it wasn't for Dorian Gerald getting hurt, wouldn't have been in there. So who knows? If, you know, Dorian Gerald was in there, he might have had a better angle. And I know we're playing the woulda, coulda, shoulda game and looking at everything hindsight, but my point is that sometimes you'll just have little breakdowns when you have a lot of freshman players out there.
Yeah, I had someone send me a photograph of that play, a still photo of it, and Soli was kind of grasped up by the tackle, wondering how can that not be holding? Well, I mean, I don't know. You can't judge it from a still picture, but that's where a freshman can't get caught up there.
I feel like you probably get a lot of those text messages from people.
And then you tell people, well, no, I don't believe it's what you think it is. And then,
they get mad at you.
You get mad at me. Well, you ask my opinion. This is my opinion.
Tell me what I want to hear, Tommy. Yeah. That's what people want. All right.
The umpire hated Arkansas. That was it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then your other question, Wayne, real quick, as far as who would be the starting or who would be the quarterback that
comes
in.
Who's next up? Who's next man in at quarterback?
I still think it would be Ben Hicks just because.
Well, I think it depends on the situation. And what Wayne was asking, what if there was a sizable lead?
I still think it would be Ben Hicks.
We're going to see KJ Jefferson at some point. Now, I don't know that he's next. Wayne's question was, who's next?
Yeah, who's next up if it's a big lead?
And you got to wonder, is John Stephen Jones going to see the field? I mean, what more do we need to see from Hicks at this point? Now, if there was an injury and you had to revert to someone else being the starter, God forbid Starko gets hurt, that might be a different answer as to who comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, And we'll ask Clay this same question when he joins us in about a half hour. Who would be the next hit? Assuming you had a 3 or 4 touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, who would be next? Well, I know who I want it to be, and I'd like to see a little KJ Jefferson out there.
I do. I would too. I would like to see it, but I just don't know if we're going to see that. Let's go.
You might want to keep that off of film too.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to the back to the phone lines. Hagar's in Springdale. What's going on, Hagar?
What's happening, my brothers?
Oh, not much. What's going on with you?
Just hard work and low pay, my friends. Hey, excited about the game, but hate to be Debbie Downer, but I'm going to be for a little bit.
Because
I'm telling you, had that starting quarterback of Colorado State not got hurt, that game was lost. They had all the mo. He had it going. They figured out our defense. We weren't stopping them. That was the game changer right there. So that was very fortunate for us. So.
Well, hang on, Hagar, hang on a second. Because the backup, yep, Patrick O'Brien, came in and threw for more yards. Now, he was seven of 10 for 106, so he didn't do exactly come in and not fill the shoes very well.
I guarantee, yeah, he did great. That wasn't it actually that kid that beat us last year? Wasn't the backup the starter last year?
No, it was Carter Samuels was the starter last year.
Oh, okay. But anyway, you may disagree, but they had all the momentum. They tied it up.
I see what you're saying.
And yeah, they were going, they were rolling. But mm-hmm.
I'm just saying the backup wasn't bad. He wasn't bad at all.
He was not bad. No, it was not bad. But let me give you go ahead and get the next two controversies started. You guys can discuss it or not discuss it. But quarterback job is still open. And here's why. We're running a pro style offense that is not Chad Morris's offense. So he's not to run an RPO. You have to have a quarterback run option, and I don't think Stark will carry the ball one time. So unless he's going to run pro style for the next 2 years, that job is still open to run Chad Morris's offense. And second of all, guys, I'm sorry, nice guy, but Chavis has got to go. He can't stop anybody. He has it for 2 years. And what's ridiculous is how they cannot set the edge on either side. Every play that team and Ole Miss ran that got significant yardage was around the edges. They, other than the one big play that they busted in the second play of the game, they couldn't get anything up the center, but they could hit the edge every time. So let's go ahead and get those controversies started. Let's get Chavis fired. And get another quarterback controversy going and get Jefferson in the game.
Yep. All right, I want it noted in the record that Hagar started these, not John and Tommy.
That's right. Well, Hogville's blowing up already.
Note that in the court record.
Yeah, well, as far as your controversies that you bring up there, Hagar, the quarterback situation, I get what you're saying, because, listen, you're not going to have, for a few reasons, you're not going to have Starkle running the RPO like you would see other quarterbacks around the league or even what Chad Morris would probably want. Mainly due to the fact that he doesn't have the running capability that you would probably want in a quarterback in that situation. Also, you don't want to get him hurt. Because if he gets hurt, as you've seen, it's a completely and totally different dynamic offensively. So you're going to try to keep him protected as much as possible. Because last year, you saw where they tried to run Ty Story a lot in that RPO, or even a Cole Kelly. But at this point in time, you can't afford to risk any injury to your best option at quarterback. So I don't think you're going to have that. But as far as I would be hard pressed to think that Starkle is not the starter this year and even next year.
Well, with Wayne and the previous caller talking about next quarterback, that's one reason I'd like to see KJ Jefferson in, because he is, from all reports, the guy that can do the RPO stuff. He is what they want in a nutshell in a quarterback.
Yes.
And maybe there's some packages, maybe there's some moments you can bring him in. But I also get the fact that why would you show it in a non-conference game? You can practice on that stuff, and then maybe against A&M, boom, you roll it out when you're not expecting it. Second quarter, when you need a spark, you need a lift, and maybe he's the guy in these moments. That's why I want to see him next, is because what Hagar's talking about there, you do have a quarterback on the sideline right now, even though he's a young freshman, that could maybe come in and do all of those things.
Yeah, and you get him in 4 games, remember. You get 4 games before you need to have to redshirt.
You burn a redshirt.
That's right.
Hey, are you tired of your noisy neighbors, looking to upgrade your apartment, or just looking for a new place to call home in a new duplex, townhouse, or maybe even a single-family home? Whether it's Northwest Arkansas, the River Valley, Hot Springs, Little Rock, Tulsa, Kansas City, Dallas, I could go on and on. Trinity Multifamily manages thousands of units in a community near you where you're at or where you got to be moving to. So if you're looking for a new place to call home, make Trinity Multifamily your first call. 479-452-1817 or go online and use the easy search tool to find rental properties near you at trinitymultifamily.com. Trinity Multifamily is your teammate in the real estate game.
We have a lot of people calling into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963, but this one's going to be one that everyone looks forward to on Mondays. Let's go back to the phone lines. Eddie is in Clarksville. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning to the fan base. As I left the stadium Saturday, I was had my hands in the air on the way to the car, and I was thanking the good Lord for Mr. Nick Starkle. What a young man. I just listened to the caller before. Let me tell you something about Mr. Nick Starkle. He's energized our football program. He's made our team better. He's made our coaches look better. He delivered the ball with authority. When's the last time we've seen that in a program? It was a totally different feeling when I left Oxford last Saturday night. I mean, the Saturday night before, when there was a feeling of hopelessness in a program. And for the first, for his performance, for a first-time starter at the U of A, he done a tremendous job. What about the young receivers, Mr. Traylon Burks and Trey Knox? I mean, some of the most talented receivers you'll see anywhere in the country, and they're starting to grow up a little bit. What about Mr. C.J. O'Grady? In my mind, the best tight end in the country, and thank you, sir, for providing what I call hold the line, and you made hold the line moments for this fan base with that catch you made. And what about the young freshman, you can't say enough about Ricky Stromberg on the offensive line, starting to block and blow holes in the line. Yes, our defense, no doubt about it, gave up some big yardage. No doubt about it. But they made the play in the clutch. They even got to the quarterback, and they scored points off defense, off turnovers. So, for this fan base, I want to say this. If you're a Hall fan, or you're a Faraday Hall fan, I want you to pack that stadium come Saturday night because the bell is going to be ringing. And what would it mean to these young players to know that the fan base still loves them? They still support them. And come together, I want to hear some blow in the game Saturday when we come together to celebrate a good time, because I see some wins in this program. I see a brighter tomorrow. And for the first time, this coaching staff, like I said, you see what he wants to do. He wants to spread the ball around that gets you up the middle. Do we have all the pieces yet? No, we don't. But I tell you this, I seen a team fight Saturday. I seen a team answer the bell. So for the fan base, get your rear end up and deck that stadium, because if somewhere in America there's a recruit out there, they're watching, and he's trying to make a decision where he's going to play college football. And we can pack that stadium and show them one of the greatest fan bases in the country, and let's go support this young team, because I see winning knocking at the door. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Eddie.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Fire it up, Eddie.
Yeah, talk about packing the stadium. What, 55 or so thousand, I think it was. What was it?
Yeah, that's what they said. It was about
55,583 on the box score. I think it's got to be larger than that. I think
it will.
Saturday night game, people tailgate all day.
But the one factor of it, and this is just checking my old handy-dandy weather app, is it does look like there's going to be a good amount of chances of storms on Saturday. Well, so that may hold some people off.
Way to put a damper on it.
Well, for crying out loud, man, all of you fans that went through the heat this past weekend, some of you especially there on the, I guess, what was it, the east side?
The east side.
My goodness.
Set in the sun.
Hey, kudos to y'all. Because that ain't easy. And especially at 3 o'clock kickoff, that ain't easy. But appreciate your phone call, Eddie, as always. And, we had Robert in Fort Smith texting in. He says, the music makes it that much better. You know what? That's why. It does make it that much better. It makes it that much more epic. So, because in every movie and epic speeches, you have music behind it. It's got to be the same way for Eddie, who's in Clarksville as well. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. Well, I'll tell you what, Eddie's got to learn to let go, doesn't he?
I don't think he'll ever learn that, my man.
I tell you what, I love Eddie and Lisa. They're passionate Razorback fans. That's good. it's good for the Hogs to have some fun. You know, we've had enough down out stuff last few years. We've had plenty of that. And you got to be impressed with Starkle. There's no quarterback controversy. Sorry. You don't find guys that can chunk it like that every day. He's an arm. He's a talent. The ball gets out, boom, it hits him right in the face. I mean, where can you find quarterbacks like that? We haven't had one lately, have we?
Makes you wonder why A&M, why it didn't work out.
I tell you.
You know, with Kellen Mond, I know he won the job, but, geez, you know, the guy's got arm talent. There's no question.
Honestly, we're going to be a problem for some people with these kind of receivers, these big, tall, physical receivers that can go up and get it, and a guy that just, I mean, comes out of his hand so fast. That's the one thing that's helped our offensive line. It's coming out. We're not sitting around waiting to get sacked like we were last year in the first game this year. We're getting it out. As far as the defense goes, I'm going to ask the question. Do you think Starkle made such a difference on our offense? Is there anybody can make a difference on our defense other than us just getting better? Because it seemed like we're getting worse. We're losing players going down. I just wonder if we're too complicated for some of these guys. Maybe I can get a comment from you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate the phone call as always, Danny. Listen, as far as the defense goes, I want to throw this out there because I know it's not saying that, making an excuse, because listen, the defense did not play their best. I get that. But you got to realize that Colin Hill, the quarterback there for Colorado State, I know he got injured in this game, but he was slinging the ball all over the field in their first two games. In their first two games, he had almost 800 yards passing within their first two games. 7 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. Guy was killing it. And in this game, he goes 13 of 23 for 99 yards and a touchdown. So Colorado State wasn't really known for their rushing attack. But my point is that what their strength was in Colorado State and offensively what they've been able to do this year, Arkansas did stop. They did keep the quarterback play in check. I mean, both quarterbacks combined went 20 of 33 for 205 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Obviously, you wanted to be better than that, but it wasn't like they were setting you on fire. It was the other side of it where it's almost like you focus so much on the passing game, you let up on the rushing game a little bit, because Marvin Kinsey, that dude was a beast. 20 carries, 180 yards, averaging 9 yards a carry. I mean, he was electric. Even McElroy there still got a lot of yards, too.
You have a 75-yard run to kind of start your day, and that's going to help your numbers and your averages.
But still, he still got 20 carries.
No, I mean, it was Kinsey and McElroy that was really what kept Colorado State in this game until Arkansas kind of let loose offensively in the fourth quarter, including a defensive score as well, and a scooping score, which really added to kind of some breathing room, was a non-offensive score.
Yeah, and so my whole point in that is just to say that don't jump off the defense and Chaves just yet. Don't think that all is lost and this is the way it's going to be every game, because I think they had a good game plan, but they just got to find a way to contain the outside, especially.
For what they're giving up in yards and some of these chunk plays that are concerning, and I'm with you, Danny, it's concerning, they're making up for in creating turnovers and back-to-back games where they've scored with a scoop and score. So I'm willing to cut a little slack. They've got to fix some of these things. They obviously can't be giving up 75-yard runs. But for all of that, when you got a defense that's giving your offense the ball back or putting the ball in the end zone a couple of times already, I'll take that. That's a good apology right there, if you will.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Jim is in Hot Springs. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, how's it going? Hey. So if we would have given up 20 points, would that have been something that most Razorback fans would have been proud of with the defense?
Oh yeah, I think
We're real close to giving up 20 points in that game. And the guy that called said the guy was on a roll. That's just wrong. They were losing by 10 at the time. I don't know where this guy's coming from on that. When the quarterback got hurt, and on that play, by the way, a lot of people probably missed this. When he got hurt, Fouché, you know, kind of pulled up and rolled him. Is it Greg Brooks? He knocked the fire out of that receiver. He's a freshman, isn't he? And he caused the fumble. It's, you know, we got some talent back there on the back end. The back end's the problem. They need to play the freshman that can run, okay? They're going to make mistakes, but they need to play the 4-4 guys. They got it. That's That's the problem, okay? It is speed. You're right. But I thought McClure looked better at linebacker in the second half. He wasn't letting them get the edge like it was happening in the first half. I mean, there's some players out there that can make plays, and they're going to make mistakes. They're going to be out of position, but they can run. You got to have players that can run. Mm-hmm. So take away the fluke pass, which was a fluke, and maybe that first run, yeah, it looked like a hold on Soley. You know, maybe we don't give that up if we're lined up right. Okay, that's two plays that changes the complexion of how this defense looks, okay? So that's how close we are. I never felt like Colorado State could really stop our offense, okay? I felt like we were 60. And, you know, you go through little lulls. But, you know, to say that John Chavis is, you know, that guy's lost his mind. And as far as quarterback controversies, I mean, when a quarterback comes out and puts up 48 points, there ain't no controversy. You know, people like this guy that called him, and he needs to get over it. Okay, we're trying to win football games. And I'm sick of Hawk fans calling in when you score 55 points and trying to fight and criticize. I mean, just go support Arkansas State. We don't need you. And that's all I got to say.
Appreciate the phone call, Hawk.
Strong call.
Yeah. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, listen, the defense, that was the main key. Is just I feel like there was times where they just looked a little slow. But that's why it's like, once they get some more depth on this defense, and especially in the second, I think there's some good players that are really, especially some of the true freshmen, because I think even Chad Morris was asked about, and we'll play the clip later in the show, he was asked about the amount of freshmen that he's having to play on the defensive side of the ball, and he sits there and he takes his hat off, and it's like, you know, this is what makes me lose hair, is because of how many freshmen we're having to play on defense and how it's killing them. And so, but they're talented. They have athleticism. I think after a few years, they'll be really good, but you can't also keep having these injuries like you've had to a Dorian Gerald and to a Bumper Pool. Mm-hmm. We'll see the extent of that injury. But, you know, that's also killers. You just don't have that quality depth you want defensively right now.
Yeah. And another factor, the last 2 weeks, Ole Miss, we know about this week as well, they had to play in the heat. Now,
that's tough.
That's not a great reason, but it is
a reason.
Part of the fact that you got a team that's short on depth, that's young, and then you're playing another game in the heat. And it just exhausts you. You know, particularly think about where there wasn't much shading on the game field itself till second half. Well, by then, it's taken its toll. So I think the heat was a little bit of a factor again this week.
Yeah, I do too. But you won't have it this week, hopefully. It'll be a little cloudier, but I'll be curious to see the difference in the defense that way.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
We have Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, joining us. So if you have a question or a comment or anything for Clay, be sure to text or call into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Let's go to the phone lines. Andrew is in Spiro. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
Pretty good, man. How about yourself?
Not so bad. I wanted to kind of talk about the defense, bring back to the defense a little bit.
Okay.
I know people are down on the defense. We're super young, guys. I got a question for Clay, though. When is the last time the Hogs defense has scored 2 games in a row? I can't think of it.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I'd have to do some research but that's unusual. And, but I tell you what, last week, I think we were talking about in the pregame that, you know, how would you beat Colorado State? How could you score enough? What might be a defensive touchdown? And that's what they've worked on all year. And they've had defensive touchdowns and scrimmages. So this is not a surprise. It's what they worked on. You know, they lost a turnover because of a penalty that really would have been in a big spot in the game, too. Mm-hmm. I think that Colorado State ended up scoring on that possession. So the penalty wiped out that turnover. I think Greg Brooks knocked the ball loose with really a vicious hit, a legal hit. I mean, he put his face mask right on the football. And I think that this defense they can do some things to disrupt. They're still not totally in sync. And, these freshman defensive ends broke down in containment a lot Saturday, but they'll get better in that.
Well, and also, Clay, I don't know what your thoughts are, but the thing I brought up is that, you know, in the first two games, this Colorado State offense was known for their passing. I mean, if you just look at what Colin Hill, I know that he got injured in the game, but if you look at what he did in the first two games against Colorado and Western Illinois, he went against Western Illinois, went 24 of 31, 364 yards, four touchdowns, no picks. And then against Colorado, he went 31 of 47, 374 yards, three touchdowns and two picks. So they were a pass-heavy team and pass-heavy offense, and Arkansas actually did a really good job of containing the pass in this game.
Yeah, and you have to look at some of the passing. The running back is really an SEC-type player, Marvin Kinsey, and they worked him over pretty good yesterday. I'm talking about in the way they – or Saturday, in the way they used him, and also the way Arkansas hit him. And I don't know if you noticed, but in the fourth quarter – he kept asking to come out. I mean, he'd run one play, take himself out, run one play, take himself out. I mean, he just didn't have anything left. I think the heat and humidity got to the Colorado State players exactly the way that I think the altitude probably got to the Arkansas players at Fort Collins last year.
Yeah, well, I was wondering about that because when those people who are at the game and sitting on that east side where the visitor bench is.
Visiting bench never got shade.
Yeah, they never got shade, and it was extremely hot. And the amount of carries that they were trying to rely on Kinsey with and giving them, I'm sure that was a huge factor into it. So that's what I thought, too, in the fourth quarter especially. I'm sure the heat got to both teams, but more so probably Colorado State. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Robert's in Fort Smith. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, guys. I think this week's game, it was helpful. It was a good win. It was a good psyche win. They needed that because to be competitive in the SEC, you've got to have some wins like this. Because, you know, like they were talking about Kentucky of the Florida game, they're competitive now, Kentucky. So I think for us to get that win, it's going to help us be competitive because right now I still don't think we've turned the corner, but we're getting it. And see what y'all's thoughts are on some of that.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Robert. I don't know if I'm just going to go all in and that this is the game that turns everything around and now they're finally going to get it going this year and win two or three SEC games. You know, I don't know about that. But we do know, and this is something we discussed this past week, of what a win would do for the confidence level of a team that hasn't had many wins. And this was a game that wasn't even just like they got up really early and then Colorado State made a pushback and then they barely escaped because they just happened to score more points early in the game. It was this team got started really well, took a lull there, took some lumps, had some mistakes, but in the fourth quarter, they showed up. They scored 21 points. Colorado State scored 0 points. They made the plays when they needed to make the plays, and they finished a game. And I think that that's also another reason why fans are a little more hopeful about this, not only because you won, but the way that you won, finishing off a game, which you haven't been able to do in quite some time.
Yeah. John, one of the things to watch for as the season rolls along, and, you know, you get injuries, you know, and people are worried about Bumper Poole right now. It looks like it's a, you know, sprained shoulder. He should be back this week, if not next week, to play against Texas A&M. It's not a serious injury. At least that's what I'm hearing.
That's good.
But it's who you have in the middle of the season. And if you look around the SEC, there's a lot of hurt quarterbacks. And, I mean, Florida lost theirs for the year. Kentucky's lost theirs. And, you know, as the season goes along, it's who's got their best players still playing. And you're able to – I mean, depth in the SEC is so critical. And it is especially critical at tailback and quarterback, because the skill position players, you know, you have to have those guys to be able to make plays against SEC defenses and speed. And so far, Arkansas's got those guys upright. Now, they've had some injuries, but they, you know, Starkle, you know, has not been beat on that much. Rakeem Boyd and Devois Whaley are rolling good. You know, you lost Jordan Jones and Deion Stewart, but the freshmen have gotten a lot of time and probably benefited from extra practice or ahead of maybe where you thought they might be 3 games into the season. So it's about who's still standing in November. And you got Hicks with some playing time now if something happens to Starkle, that you could go there. And I think he can play better than what he played in those first two games. And so I think Arkansas is in a good position at quarterback, especially to go forward. And that doesn't mean they're going to win two or three SEC games. I still stand by, you know, win the four non-conference and maybe win one, sneak up on somebody another place, and, you know, that then you might get six. But that is really a push. Five is probably more doable than anything else.
Brought to you by this morning, the Morning Rush, brought to you by the Paint Store in Van Buren. Hey, those fall painting projects got to get done before winter sets in. Let the Paint Store put their 31 years of experience to work for you and help you choose a new color or match the one you really need. And in addition to a computer, they use their eyes and their minds and their experience as well to see color and make adjustments to help you choose the right Richards Paints products for your project. So if you're looking for the right paint store where it's not a big box store, you get personal attention and they keep all of your paint colors on file for 10 years. No other paint store does that but the Paint Store in Van Buren. 1414 Fayetteville Road, or see Sue and Vicky there, or call them at 474-4505.
Well, Clay, I also have a feeling, and again, this is just one game, maybe this is overreaction, but I have a feeling that at the end of this season, that Ole Miss game fans are going to look back on and say, man, we wish that we could have played that about 2 or 3 weeks later. It just kind of has that feel to where if Arkansas can really get this going offensively under Starkel and they can keep everybody healthy, especially on the offensive line, because I think that is crucial to make sure that this offense continues to grow and be successful, it's just going to be one of those games you may look back on and be like, man, just if that just would have been at a different time in the season, well, everything would have been different.
And Ole Miss was even struggling with Southeast Louisiana State. Yeah. I saw some Cole Kelly,
yeah,
come in,
Steamboat,
running the ball on them. So, I mean, they didn't exactly make a great stride, Clay, off the Arkansas win.
Yeah, you can't just look at the quarterback play though, because defensively that was the second half of that game, the tackling that was as poor as they've played this year, and I think that was a lot of freshmen. But maybe those guys will be in a better position a month from now and have grown a little bit in how they're handling things. But yeah, I mean, it fell at a bad spot, but heck, it's the same for, you know, it's the same for Ole Miss. So, I mean, it's you when you take the schedule, you know, the other team has got the same amount of days to get ready as you do. So maybe you do feel that way, but that's not where I am right now. I mean, I just like, hey, it's about getting better every week. And if they make those kind of strides, you know, they might play a team that's not as capable 5 weeks from now. Here's what happens in college football. When you get to November, there's teams that are coming and there are teams that are going. There's teams that don't want to be there anymore. And if you can just hold your guys together and build your chemistry and not have too many injuries, you can take advantage of a team that's on the ropes and going away, if that makes any sense.
No, it totally makes sense. And I think also, of course, we talked about the quarterback and Nick Starkel, but it was just also really impressive to see these freshman phenom wide receivers actually be on display. And we all got to see that. And I think that was another thing that Razorback fans were just hoping, all right, we know that these guys are good. We know these guys are talented. Let's see what happens when you give them the ball. And Burks ends with 4 catches, 92 yards. Trey Knox, 6 catches, 90 yards and a touchdown. I mean, I'd like to know the last time both he had two receivers that were close to getting 100 yards through the air like that. But Clay, it just seemed like all the skill position guys really stepped up too. Rakeem Boyd goes for 122 yards. We know the Cheyenne O'Grady play that he had and how incredible that was. So yeah, it was about the quarterback, but it was also about finally seeing some of these skill position players step up as well.
Yeah, I'm going to point to a guy that we're not mentioning at all. He's probably taken, you know, the brunt of criticism over the last 2 years. Ty Clary really had a good game Saturday,
yeah,
guys. In that 59-yard run, mm-hmm, he kicked out the guy to his left and then went across the face of the hole and got the guy to the right, and Rakeem cut right off his butt. And, I mean, it was a massive hole. And if ever a center played it perfectly, it was Ty Clary. And you could see it from the end zone shot where it's like all at once he goes out of the picture and you see him just shove the guy on one side and then boom, he's right back across. And it was as quick a move as you'll want to see for an offensive lineman. And Rakeem said he did that all day. And so let's give some credit where credit's due. Ty Clary played,
yeah,
well. That,
good point.
Now that's Colorado State's defense isn't stout. You know, can he do that against SEC players? I don't know, but That was an impressive performance by Ty Cleary.
Yeah, you're certainly hoping he's going in the right direction and getting better. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Rod is on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, Tommy. Good morning, Sassy Dog.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Five Iron. Is it?
Five Iron. Five Iron's
me, yeah.
I thought it was Nine Iron, but never mind.
Whatever.
Well, all righty then. I'll take your word. It's good to be on here, you know, on Monday with a real win, and I was glad to hear Eddie back on top of the world. That was nice.
He was a little fired up, yeah.
He was as fired usual. Up there for a while, and 30% of something was more than 100% of nothing. I'm glad that happened, too. Congratulations to the team on a pretty much a complete win. I mean, that was really a good game, and I think, you know, Nick Starkel really added a lot to the team, but, you know, there was a lot of freshmen out there playing that really have improved miles over what they were just a couple of games ago. I was really happy to see that. I do think Nick Starkel I was loving seeing that pro-style offense. I mean, that's been so long, and it worked out beautifully. They had pretty much set alignments, and everything looked right. They could have done, you know, there was a couple of issues, but, I mean, that was a complete game. It's been a long time in Arkansas offense since I've seen a complete game.
Yeah, that's for sure. Appreciate the phone call, Rod. I mean, I think that's where a lot of the fans' excitement comes from, is just how long it's been since you've been able to feel good. Even though it's Colorado State, and this isn't going to just get the entire program turned around for what it's been, but just to have it to where you finished off a game in the fourth quarter, your offense looked good, your defense had moments. I know they gave up a lot of points, but it just was something to feel good about at least over a weekend instead of us having to come on here and talk about another loss for a change.
Monday Morning Quarterback brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma, celebrating with discounts up to $15,000 off on fifth wheels, up to $10,000 off on new travel trailers. It's fall camping season, and they're getting you ready. Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40, next door to the Cracker Barrel. It's where your family's dreams come true.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Alex is in St. Louis. What's going on, Alex?
What's up, John? How's it going, man?
Pretty good, man. What's going on with you?
Not much. Another day in paradise. So I've got two takes here. The first thing that I really noticed that I really liked with Nick Starkel was that CJ O'Grady pass. Not just the play that CJ made, but if you go back and watch, Nick actually audibles out of the original play, which was a run. There's an inside zone to Rakeem Boyd. He saw that there was seven in the box, and they audible to a pass play, and he hit CJ O'Grady, and the rest is history. Now, with Hicks, I don't think we see that. I think Coach sticks with the run, and we try to run the clock down, and then what happens is we punt it, and we got Colorado State 2018 all over again. But I really liked the way, I mean, for a guy that only supposedly has 30% of the playbook, the offense seemed way more open to me. I don't know about you guys, but it definitely looked more like a Chad Morris offense from what we've seen at Clemson and SMU. The last thing that I've got to say, and I'll get out of here, was that the back shoulder passes on the one-on-one coverage. You saw it with Knox, you saw it with O'Grady, and I think you saw one with Burks where you had one-on-one coverage and he had a defender a step ahead of him, and Nick saw that and threw the ball a little bit short so the wide receiver could turn around and make a play on the ball on the back shoulder. Those are just things that I've noticed that I haven't seen I haven't seen stuff like that since 2017 Austin Allen. And it just feels good to see a quarterback drop back and you're not like, oh my God, please don't throw an interception. So it just feels good to be comfortable again with the quarterback. We definitely have a lot to improve on defense, especially, and on offense, but I definitely am optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, and appreciate the phone call, Alex, because I think that most people are cautiously optimistic at this point. But you're talking about Starkel and the way that he played. I think that some of the points you brought up in those plays were really good, because that's some of the things that maybe not the trained eye would notice, is just the small little things like that. And there's no doubt that just having the threat of Starkel where he can throw the ball deep down the field too, I know that he's not doing it every play, but he at least has the threat to do so, that can push defenses back. That it's just another element that the defense has to be ready for. In a lot of cases, that's what opens up the rushing attack. That's what opens up the screen game. That's what opens up a lot of different things. And Clay, I know that we've talked about it. You know, Starkel, if he doesn't know all the offense, that's fine. But if you just are a better quarterback and you have a better arm and you're able to make better decisions out there when throwing, you know, the playbook may not always factor in as far as being the most important thing for a quarterback like Nick Starkel.
Yeah, I think he understands more than 30%. Again, it goes back to how much you're going to have your team carry into the game. It's not about what the quarterback knows all the time. It's about what Trey Knox and Treylon Burks know. It's, you've got to keep it simple for them. I don't think there's any question that you could give Starkel more, but you have to be able to get lined up right in all those formations and all the different variations. That's where it gets tricky for a true freshman. So I think that everybody, if you go back and you listen to the quote from Chad Morris from Wednesday night, he said, "We're going to carry this into the game." He didn't say that's all Nick Starkel knows right now. He said that's what we're carrying into game. And by and large, you don't carry 70-80% of your offense into a game because you're not going to use it. You know what the other team is going to play defensively, and you know the matchups that you have, and you carry the plays that work against those situations and those matchups. And I can't emphasize that enough, that was not a comment directed at Nick Starkel of what he knows. Because he knows more than that.
Because
just trust me.
100% of the playbook would be how many plays, Clay? How many hundreds of plays?
It might be 500.
Yeah, and you're going to run, what, 80-ish plays
with
in a game?
10 formations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you might run 20 plays in a game. You might run them three times. You know, they ran, you know, some of the zone read plays. They ran that play might have been 10 times in a game. I mean, it's just
run what's working.
You change the formation, you run it again. Yep. If it's working, you keep hammering them with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right. And that's something also that Arkansas has been missing offensively, is to get into a rhythm, to where you're having plays that are being successful and you're finding some consistency. Because let's be honest, they had a few three and outs, but Tommy, what was the thing you brought up in the drive chart? How many possessions did they have and how many scores? 9 of 14, I believe?
It says 16, but I'm only really counting 14. Two of those were one play, end of half possessions.
Okay.
But they scored on 9 of what I'm considering 14 true possessions.
Yeah, and that alone right there.
Yeah, they were 4-4 in the red zone.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
4-4 in the red zone, which is huge.
Yeah, and that was something that we really hammered the point home this past week, of just when you get those opportunities to score, when you get those opportunities inside the 20 or even off of a turnover, whatever it may be, to take advantage of it. And it certainly looked like that every opportunity that was put in front of them offensively, they took advantage of, and that's why you see a score at the end with 55 total points.
Yeah. And the offense was more explosive. You look at it, Clay, they only had one drive over 10 plays, and that was the second drive of the game. They scored on 11 plays, 82 yards. This was a team that was getting into the end zone and in shorter amounts of plays this week versus a week ago.
Did we lose Clay?
I think we did.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
Nothing to add to that. He hammered it home.
Okay. Well, I was wanting to make sure, because sometimes, you know.
Tommy, you did it right.
There you go.
Thank you, Clay.
Yeah, great point
there. That was good, Tommy.
That's what we're
expecting. That's one of the best points. That was almost Ty Richardson-like. It was so good.
Now you had to go and insult me. All right. I'll do better next time. I hear what you're saying.
Sorry.
It's
sorry.
All good.
If you want to- I wasn't following it. I was supposed to compliment you on that.
There you go. If you want to get on the conversation, be sure to call or text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. You know, there is a lot of things that came from this game, and we've had a few people that have been texting in and tweeting in that have just been saying, listen, they just liked it because it wasn't just an ugly win. It wasn't just a win that you benefited from because the other team was so awful. It was just a win that you finished out strong. You started strong. You had a lull, but you fought back. You responded well, because wasn't that the thing Chad Morris kept saying? Response is key.
Yeah. I just want to get Clay and you into the club dub. That's just all I... That's
how do you know I wasn't in the club dub?
Well, maybe you were.
Yeah.
Maybe you were.
Maybe I was the DJ of the club dub.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
The give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him.
Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
You need to start adding in some highlights of yours that you've had here on the Morning Rush to really make it sound pumped up and great.
Have there been highlights yet of Clay?
I think he's had a couple here and there.
Wait, that's your job to hammer Clay, not mine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Leave it to the professionals over here. But no, Clay, would that be better for you if we did some highlights of yours during your intro?
Hey, it's not for me to say. I mean, it's for you to decide, John. And as long as you've got it in there where we talk about you being the sassy dog, I don't care.
Well, we can do that for you. And see, that's exactly the right answer there, Clay. It's kind of like you can't come up with a nickname for yourself. You got to wait other people do it. You can't make your own intro.
Nope.
You can't make your own highlight.
Nope.
You got to have other people do it for you. So that was the right answer there. But I'll work on that, Clay, for sure. You know, we had, of course, the Chad Morris and the players after the game against Colorado State meet with the media. If you want to check out those videos in their entirety, head over to hitthatline.com. But one of the things that when Cheyenne O'Gracy, Joe Grady, however you want to refer to him as, he was asked about how this game was different and how good it felt to actually be on the winning side of a fourth quarter, especially late in the game compared to what it was last year. And here's what Cheyenne had to say.
A lot of us know, like the old hogs, we didn't know how to respond. We all just got down, the energy lowered. This year is just completely different. We started getting a little bit last year, didn't quite overcome response and how we respond to failure. And then, so this year, I just think we've all really came together as a team, defense and offense. I see offensive players going over to defense and talking to them, and then I see defensive players going over to offense. It's just everybody's coming together, and that's what we need. That's what this team needs, and that's what led us to a victory today.
Clay, when you hear that and what you've been seeing from the team and from the sidelines and from their just response, which I think was what really was hammered by Chad Morris this past week, do you see where Cheyenne's coming from in his response in that?
Yeah, and I think that for him to be the one to say it is impressive because, you know, we all know, you know, Cheyenne's been up and down. You know, it's like he's this by far was his best game. And I don't know what spurred it on, whether, you know, the strep throat, you know, they what do they say, beware of the sick. They'll yeah. get you. But that was a great play, but it wasn't just that play. I thought they ran on his side quite a bit. His blocking was good, and he is the best blocker of those tight ends, and is that's why he's an NFL prospect. And for him to make a play like that was just huge. Now, he said he didn't really have any energy left to celebrate, which is good because he can break into a dance at any moment and get a 15-yard penalty, and we know we don't want that anymore either. So it's, you know, you can talk about the freshmen growing up, but sometimes your seniors have to grow up. And I think that CJ, I'll give him a lot of credit because I really enjoyed watching him play Saturday.
Clay, I thought it was just fortunate from the standpoint the officials at any point could have blown that play dead with forward progress stop. He kept churning and broke free from there, and obviously the you know, went through five men to get to the end zone.
Yeah, Colorado State was, they were intent on, in fact, he said, CJ said, he said, I probably should have gone down because at that point in the game, it's like, how many points do you really need? You know, running off clock with 4 or 5 minutes to go is really what the job was, you know, called for. And they're trying to strip it and, you know, they're not trying to get him down. So it was good fortune and also, you know, brilliant thinking by him is like, I think I can score on this play. And he did. And it was, again, it was as fun a play to watch C.J. O'Grady as a senior and do all the things that everybody has thought was in him. And it was a moment of brilliance for C.J. O'Grady. Cheyenne, however he can be Cheyenne now. I've always said I'm going to call him C.J. until he deserves being Cheyenne, and he was Cheyenne in that play.
Well, and the play was great, but it was almost like a nice indication of, you know, not giving up, not going down, not ever giving up on the play, because he even said, he's like, yeah, probably don't want to continue to do a play like that, especially if you get an SEC play because of the ways that they were trying to strip out the ball and everything. You know, so he even brought up the fact, he was like, yeah, that may not have been the smartest way to do it, especially in that situation, having the lead. But I think that it was just a great indication and similar to what Cheyenne was talking about of saying, You know, there was no give up. There was no, he's talking about the old hogs and how there would be a lot of give up and get down and everything like that. And that was just a play where he didn't give up. He wanted to score and he was going to do whatever it took to score. And when you see plays like that, not only is that something for O'Grady, but it's also something for the team to where it can get them energized and pumped up. And you get on SportsCenter and people are talking about the play. And that was another thing that I thought was funny. Some of the fans were mentioning it was just nice to be on a SportsCenter top 10 play where you weren't the team that the top 10 play was against, similar to what they saw with the punt return last year, the fake punt return. Go ahead, Clay.
No doubt, John. And I, one thing to go back, and if you can play, I don't know if you can hit that, the replay of that play again and listen to the very start of it. And they called a blitz, and they were in Starkel's face, and he sat in there and delivered a perfect touch pass. I mean, you know, it's the wheel route, and the way you throw that is you don't throw it on a laser. You lay it up over that defensive player that's got his back turned, chasing Cheyenne, and let Cheyenne make the play. And he's going to get hit, and Starkel doesn't see the end of the play because, he'd been just plastered. And that is a huge play for everybody else to see that their quarterback is willing to take a hit and hang in there and show the courage. Like, I'm not going to duck out of this. I'm going to deliver it, take the hit, and, we're going to make a big play. I mean, do you have that queued up?
I don't believe so. We got a lot of other plays here. We had it in the intro, but no, we don't have that play queued up right now.
But how many times did...
Well, it's worth listening to because you can hear that he's going to get hit just as he threw the ball. And it was, that's a significant part of that play, that Starkel could deliver that kind of a pass, a touch pass, on a dime that just... And knowing that you're gonna have to take the hit. I mean, there's sometimes where there's more guys coming than you got to block, but you got somebody open, and you've got to let them run their route. Yep. And he did it.
And how many times did we see him, even on plays where he didn't get hit, step up in the pocket and get a better view, elude a defender by stepping up into the pocket? That's something we didn't see as much as we needed to last year. And it was just, I thought it was just better footwork from the quarterback.
Yeah, and you have to remember, Nick didn't play last year. I mean, he sat and watched Kellen Mond at Texas A&M, and he got the crumbs of a number two. And that's, he's got some rust in it, and it's going to get better and better. And that's, I think everybody realizes that when they see the ball jump out of his hand, and it's, I'm not saying it's mallet-like, but it's in that realm of, laser like, as the Austin Powers movie, laser like, with air quotes, right?
That's right, with the air quotes and laser like. Well, since it was a weekend and it was fun filled for Razorback fans to actually get a victory, but a lot of other things going on in the sports world and some pretty awful things as well, which is perfect time for us to get into here on the Morning Rush, the best and the worst of the weekend.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
We the best.
This is the worst.
It's time for the best and worst of the weekend.
All right, it is time for the best and the worst of the weekend, presented by Sassy's, one of my favorite places to go to, not only in the state of Arkansas, but just anywhere in particular. Because, listen, barbecue is one of those meals that you can't really get enough of. There's always different great variations of it, no matter how it's prepared. It can be smoked. It can be on nachos. It can be in tacos. No matter how it's prepared...
It can be on a sassy dog.
Yeah, it can be on a sassy dog. It can be in a salad. You can even do a salad if you want to do a barbecue salad.
Not always good barbecue on a salad.
Well, hey, the salad can be coleslaw, all right? That's salad, right? It's close enough for us at least. But they have great options there, like the sass dog, the big sass dog, if you will, if you go there. And, of course, my favorite, the barbecue nachos. If you're not feeling barbecue, though, they got you set up with some great catfish, some great wraps, some great salads, some great sandwiches. Whatever it is that you need for lunch and or dinner, head over to Sassy's with their two locations in Fayetteville, off of College and off of Weddington. All right, I'll go ahead and kick off the best and the worst of the weekend. My best is going to be Club Dub. All right? Now, for those of you who have not heard or do not know what Club Dub is, go over to the Arkansas Razorbacks official Twitter account or Facebook account where they put up these videos after the game. And when Arkansas gets a victory, the locker room essentially turns into a nightclub. The lights go down, the strobe lights come up, the music starts blaring, The players start dancing, and even in this case, as the video shows, Chad Morris is dancing as well. Place is going crazy. It's going nuts. I had not seen this before, but for obvious reasons, because there hasn't been a lot of victories that Razorback fans could celebrate about, or Razorback players could celebrate about. But watching that video, to see the players enjoying themselves, having a good time, and the coaches doing it, I know Colorado State isn't an SEC opponent, but it was just good to see them having that reaction, to almost have that weight lifted off their shoulders, to respond well after Ole Miss, and the fact that they are having a nightclub dance, yeah, essentially in their locker room is just fantastic. So I got to give it up to Club Dub.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And Clay, it's good to see this. Yeah, those are the kind of moments that bring a team closer together, particularly when you see your coach, who can sometimes have his moments where he has to be hard on you, join in on the fun with the team. I thought that was it looked like a good team-building moment for them after the win.
Yeah, you go back through the years, and there have been some great Arkansas locker room celebrations. And I remember in the 60s they had a little song about beating the whole state of Texas, you know, that they would sing in the locker room when they would win in Lubbock or Austin or whatever. And you know, it's like, hey, those are the things that the players will remember for the rest of their lives, and it is a bonding. And now they just take it to the next level, you know, see what the dance is like after, you know, winning back-to-back weeks. And it's all right if they convert AT&T Stadium into, you know, a club situation in a couple of weeks.
Club Jerry.
That would be a really sweet dance.
Yeah, Club Jerry, they'll call it.
Yep.
Hey, it was a party, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
We got to find a way how to get invitations in there. Maybe yeah. Clay can hook us up with yeah. it. So, but that was my best of the weekend.
All right, my best of the weekend has to be soccer. We never talk soccer on the show, but there's certainly great reason today with Arkansas soccer team winning over number one ranked North Carolina. We talked about this in the last hour. Huge win for the program. And what were you saying? The first win by an SEC team over North Carolina?
By two goals.
By two goals. Yeah. So, I mean, just an incredible moment. It's a sport probably many of you are very passionate about. A lot of you don't follow soccer at all. But anytime any sport can beat the number one team in the country, that's got to be some of the best stuff you see over the weekend. My best, the soccer teams win over number one North Carolina.
Clay, what about you?
I'm going to say C.J. O'Grady. And I, you know, it's it was really a lot of fun to see C.J. in all the things that he did in that game. You know, he didn't play in the first quarter. Their rule is if you don't practice on Wednesday and Thursday, you can't start. And that's a Chad Morris staple. And so he didn't play in the first quarter, and he came in, immediately made an impact. His blocking was good. Everything that he did was just right down the middle, outstanding. And we put him on the cover of Hogs Illustrated, and the little cover blurb, you know, the main headline, it says CJ's best, and I thought it was, and my hat is off to CJ O'Grady, and just the way he performed, and then the way he conducted himself in the interview room, where he talked about how maybe in the past when he was sick he'd be a, you know, wah wah baby or something like that. I think that was the quote. And it's I hesitate to say he's growing up, but there's something going on that's really nice to see.
Yeah, it's certainly been a difference maker in him, and hopefully he can continue to be playing as a high level as he is right now.
He's a talent.
I'm telling you, he could be another one of those great tight ends that's come from Arkansas, from the state of Arkansas, and played for Arkansas, and that can have a nice career in the NFL. He's certainly built that way, that is for sure. All right, Tommy, what's your worst of the weekend?
I don't know if y'all watched the Florida-Kentucky game, but Felipe Franks, who's been the starter for Florida, I mean, just a nasty, terrible injury.
Oh, yeah.
Bit in half. In fact, it's so bad, Steve Levy, who was broadcasting the game, said, we're not going to show this again on replay. It was just really terrible to see a guy that's had the career he's had get rolling starter, and then Trask came in and did a nice job as their backup. But you just hate to see injuries like that occur, and he had to be carted off the field. So that was really one of the worst, just a gruesome injury with Felipe Franks, the Florida starting quarterback.
Yeah. Clay, what about you? What's your worst?
Yeah, I was going to say then right after that, Kentucky goes down and has a chance to win the game. And, the kicker missed a really from point-blank range. And, you know, it just just to see that stadium deflated, you know, they had a chance to have back-to-back wins over Florida, probably deserved to get the victory. And, you know, it just shows you how fragile and how tough it is to win in the SEC. Yeah. And, you know, their program is in pretty good shape as far as the physical play that Mike Stoops is kind of brought them. But to have that miss, and then I don't even think they cover. I mean, that's they give up a touchdown, you know, a long touchdown the next play, and it's you know, it's not even close at the end. So
one thing for sure, Clay, and this just because I was watching that really from more of the Kentucky perspective, since Arkansas plays them, that offensive line for Kentucky is the real deal. Arkansas will have its hands full with that O-line for the Wildcats.
Yep, they've got some good players there. They've, you know, in their, you know, some veteran, solid players. And that's how you do it in the offensive line. You just keep working them and keep working them and keep them in the weight room and you know, and just keep building. And that's, you know, that's what they've got to do at Arkansas. And it is reality at Kentucky that they have done that. Now, they're missing some things at other places. You know, their skilled players aren't quite at the level that some people have, but they have a physical, tough team, and it was just sad to see them lose the game because of a missed field goal.
All right, my worst of the weekend, Tommy, I may need your help on this. So there was a few games where it seemed like the officiating crew had a few gaffes.
Was this Saturday or Sunday?
Well, actually, it could be a little bit of both.
Okay.
But the main ones I'm thinking about is, of course, on Sunday, where some of the NFL games have transpired. And I don't know if there's any sort of truth to a conspiracy theory, which is probably not. But how is it that every single time there seems to be a bad referee gaffe, it has to do with the New Orleans Saints?
Well, you're talking about the call on the pass play that was ruled incomplete?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, this is not how... When you have the benefit of replay, let the play itself out if you're not 1,000%, maybe 1,001% certain of what you have. And they didn't do that. Replay did not confirm that it was a correct call. And that's like three games in a row now that New Orleans has had some kind of timing issue, officiating issue. Of course, going back to last year in the NFC Championship game, we all know about that led to the rule change with pass interference. But yesterday they had a play where the pass was ruled incomplete on a quarterback when the ball was coming out of his hands. It was bang, bang, ruled incomplete, and then replay shows it was that was an incorrect call.
But wouldn't you, in that case, though, just swallow the whistle just to wait?
Well, that's what these guys are taught to do.
Yeah.
Let replay re-officiate it. Keep that in your back pocket. The correct thing to do is to not blow your whistle, to let the play itself out, and then see what replay confirms.
Yeah, and that was really the problem that I had. And it's like, again, I don't think there's any truth to any conspiracies going against the Saints. I don't think there's anything that, but it just seems like, and of course it had to be against the Rams too that they were playing. It's one of those things that's just like, man, that's a killer play. That's a killer play in that situation. But yeah, that was the main one. I guess the other one was apparently at the end of the Arizona State-Michigan State game. I don't know if you saw this.
I heard about this. I did not see this.
Yeah, it was there was these issues where it had 12 men on the field and they had to back up the penalty. And it was all kind of a mess and very complicated. I didn't even realize it was a rule break until the very end. But still, it was pretty brutal. But it just wasn't a very good weekend for the officiating in my book.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.